from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you,
Lord. Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side of the sea while he dismissed the crowd. After doing so, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" After they got into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." After making the crossing, they came to land at Gennesaret. When the men of that place recognized him, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought to him all who were sick and begged him that they might touch only the tassel of his cloak, and as many as touched it were healed. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, today we've got one of the providential anniversaries, the 800th anniversary of one of the most important episodes in the life of St. Francis of Assisi. He was pulling an all-nighter in the tiny little church dedicated to Our Lady Queen of the Angels that the Benedictines had built centuries before, that became essentially the chief church of the Franciscans, what we call the little portion, or the Porziuncola. He was praying there at night when all of a sudden that tiny little church, barely bigger than this chapel, was filled with light. He looked up and he saw Our Lord there with Our Lady on his right, and then surrounded by all the angels. And St. Francis asked the Lord that the grace of the forgiveness he had experienced from the Lord, the grace of his profound conversion, which is the most characteristic thing about the life of St. Francis, would be available to everybody, that everyone who would come to that church and pray would be able to receive the full remission of all the temporal punishment due to sin, a full indulgence. According to St. Francis's earliest biographers, the Lord said to him, "You are asking for much, but you're worthy of even more. I grant what you request with the one condition that you ask it of my earthly vicar." And so Francis went to Pope Honorius III, explained the vision that he had seen, and asked for what we now call the pardon of Assisi, this Porziuncola indulgence capable of being received on August 2nd throughout the world and at the Porziuncola any day of the year. Pope Honorius said, after a lengthy conversation, "I grant what you request." Said, "For how long would you like the indulgence?" And Pope Francis said, I'm not asking for years. St. Francis said, I'm not asking for years. I'm asking for souls. Pope Honorius said, well, would you like me to write it up? He said, no, it's enough, your word. And he went back and he passed his conversation on to his Franciscans and to the local hierarchy who were present. And we continue to profit from what he asked the Lord 800 years ago today. In this extraordinary jubilee of mercy, how important it is for us, like Francis, to beg the Lord for mercy, that what we ourselves have received, we want the whole world to be able to receive. Pope Francis himself is going to be making an extraordinary trip to Assisi this Thursday in order to celebrate the 800th anniversary of this famous pardon of Assisi, in which he is going to be begging the same Lord, the same Queen of the Angels at his right, all the heavenly host, that we too, and especially those on the periphery who have self-alienated from God and his merciful love, might be able to come back to him and to receive the full joy of God's clemency. Today's readings help us to enter into this mystery of the type of conversion God indulgently wants each of us to have. First reading from the prophet Jeremiah, we see a major shift in his letter. Just yesterday we had the conversation between Hananiah, who was talking that God's mercy was going to be very quick and you're going to have it in 2 years, and his false prophecy corrected by the Lord through Jeremiah. But today there's a big shift in which the Lord himself gives word of the indulgence he was going to give to the Jews, that he was in fact not only going to forgive their sins but restore their house in Jerusalem, that they were going to be able to experience in prophetic oath what Jesus himself would describe in the parable of the prodigal son. After communicating to them that their wound was incurable, their bruise grievous, that they had no one to plead their cause, no remedy for their running sore, no healing, because all their lovers, their false gods, had forgotten them and weren't seeking them. Thus said the Lord, behold, I will restore the tents of Jacob. I will have pity on his dwellings. City shall be rebuilt upon hill and palace restored as it was. There will resound songs of praise, the laughter of happy men. I will glorify them. His son shall be of old. His assembly shall stand firm before me. I'll punish their oppressors. His leader shall be one of his own. And that would become fulfilled in mercy incarnate, Jesus himself. His ruler shall come from his own kin. You shall be my people and I will be your God. He would rebuild Zion again and appear in all his glory. This is God's indulgence, that not only does he forgive, but he restores to an even greater state than was possessed before the fall. Not only because there's a relationship with the mercy of God, which they had never fully appreciated before, but that God, through that mercy, sculpts them even more in his divine image, so that they are similar, and we are similarly capable of extending that mercy to others. But in order to live this mystery, we have to have faith. We have to be willing to take a risk. We need to get out of our comfort zones. And that's what today's gospel illustrates perhaps better than any other scene in the gospel. It's an extraordinary scene. We've heard it so many times that the details can just kind of pass by as if gentle waves without really shocking us. But it's important if we're going to make the exodus into the Lord's embrace that we really enter into the scene as if we were Peter. What's happening? Yesterday, in the miracle of the multiplication of loaves and fish, it said that Jesus had the crowd sit down in the green grass. It's only a short window of time in the Holy Land when there's any grass on the mountainsides of the Sea of Galilee. It's the month of April. Maybe a little bit if there's been a lot of rain, the end of March. And at that time in the Holy Land, sundown happens about 6. When Jesus came to them walking on the water, it says that they were at the third watch of the night. Now I know Sister Amada knows exactly when that third watch of the night is. She's thinking about it right now. It's between 3 and 6 in the morning. And so if they had gotten into the boat at 6 for that 5 to 6 mile journey along the northern lip of the Sea of Galilee, it would have taken at most a few hours. They had been in the boat for over 9 to 12 hours with the wind against them, soaking wet, fearing for their lives. Several of them were experts on that sea. Peter himself was a great swimmer. We know that from John 21, when he quickly swam 100 yards to meet Jesus. But they thought that they were going to die. The Lord is placidly praying on the top of the mountain. And then all of a sudden does something that they would have never been able to imagine. Jesus comes to them, walking along the ferocious waves in the middle of that storm. They had seen him work miracles before. He was walking on the water. Nobody had ever heard of that before. And at first, they thought it was a ghost. They knew the laws of gravity. Human beings can't walk on water. They also had these superstitions about leviathans at the bottom of the ocean. And doubtless they thought that they were going to be swallowed up if they were to capsize. So out of fear, they cried out, "It is a ghost." And that's when Jesus sought to allay their fears. "It is I, ego me." It goes back to what God said in the burning bush, "I am who I am." Take courage. Be not afraid. And then Peter, vacillating, said 2 contradictory things. "Lord," said, "if it's you." So on the one hand, crying out with an act of faith. On the other hand, with a doubt. "Lord, if it is you, command me to do the impossible. I've been fearing for my life for the last 9 to 12 hours, fearing going into this ocean. But if it's really you, give me the courage to go overboard and walk to you along the water. Command." And Jesus says just one word across the howling rain. "Come, come, come." And Peter goes overboard with trust in the Lord, strengthening his weak faith. He was doing the humanly impossible. He was walking above the white-capped waves. His density had changed. Rather than going toward the bottom, he was staying on top because the faith was actually lifting him up. He asked for the Lord to command it so that he could get to the Lord as quickly as possible. Rather than waiting for the Lord to arrive at the boat, he wanted to get to the Lord as quickly as he could. And he was making great time until he heard the howling wind and felt the rain across his face. And taking account of the storm, taking his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. He began to fear for his life, having sunk. That's when he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, save me." And St. Mark, St. Matthew and St. Mark both tell us that Jesus grasped onto him. The storm was still going unabated. The wind was howling, the rain was pelting down, the waves were likely cusping to his waist or even over his nose. But Peter stopped fearing because he was being held up by the Lord on the waves. And finally, when they entered back into Peter's boat, the wind died down, and everybody recognized that Jesus wasn't just a long-awaited Messiah born of woman alone, but he had to be the Son of God to have that type of capacity above all the elements. A lot of the times we need to have similar faith to go overboard against our own sense of security. We have to have that love of the Lord, if he's coming to us with mercy, to ask for the impossible, to run out even in areas in which we won't have what seems to be solid footing, knowing that in faith the Lord wants us to journey to him quickly. We need to be willing to leave our boats and our comfort zones behind. We need to be willing to go through that washing of the second baptism with the storms perhaps of remorse, with the water flowing all over us, in order to get to that embrace, knowing that once the Lord clasps onto us, no matter what else is happening, that that's where we will find him, and with him we not only find our courage, but we find ourselves. This is a journey that St. Peter himself made. It's a journey that St. Francis of Assisi himself made. And they're intervening for us right now, that we'll be willing to jump out of our own security and more into the depth of the power of his indulgent mercy. And with St. Peter and with St. Francis, we turn to Our Lady, Queen of the Angels, and ask our Mother and Queen of Mercy to get us this faith that allows us to say and mean what's written on this image. Jesus, I trust in you enough to come to you in the fourth watch. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.